particular benefit of a particular property, and in the past it may have been for a particular property owner outside of the context of the overall plan. That's sort of the baggage that concept carries. And so when you consider your major rezonings, you want to do it in the context of the area around it, and that makes it not a spot zone, but full-on contextual thinking. And that's in part why we wanted to go through those considerations, because I wanted to show you that, yes, this is a property. It's a big property. But the way we're thinking about it is consistent with the rest of what we've tried to reason through in 2035, and we're doing it as part of 2035. So
thank you. Second question. Is the only, you said this is subject to the bonus to get the height, and is the only trigger for the bonus inclusionary housing?
Correct.
So you couldn't get the height because you want to add commercial space?
The only way to access the bonus system in this location is to use the inclusionary housing program. Once you've satisfied that, you could move on to transfer provisions that are available in the code, but the threshold is inclusionary housing.
And so that's, from your point of view, part of the public benefit.
Correct, and that's even when we did this in the past, that is the heart of the public benefit, yes. Okay.
And my final question is, since we're talking a lot about design, how it looks, master plan, could you just give me just a quick reminder, what's the council's role with respect to either design or the master plan, if at some point we go forward with this plan?
Well, and I'm going to make sure the master plan is a new provision. The master plan requires that the phased development of the site be thought through in a public process that's overseen by the Design Commission. Upon appeal, I believe that the master plan process will end up in front of City Council if we're not
that
able
is,
to.
That is baked in as a safety valve.
It is, yes.
And does the design, and that's, then you anticipated my final question, the Design Review Commission would oversee the master plan process. Are there specific design guidelines that can be applied to any tower above a certain height? Do we have that option to put that requirement in?
Well, we've baked those into the rules that we've imported from South Waterfront.
That would go to design review?
Yes, that actually sits in the code in parts, and we've added some of the amendments that you're making today add guidance to the design review process as they look at the master plan.
If I could just make one clarification to add to what Joe has said. Commissioner Fish, you asked about the triggers for the bonus and if it would be inclusionary housing. The only, just to be clear, so the proposal we received was for it's a concept for a residential development, and certainly that would trigger affordable housing. If there was a building that came in and it was a straight commercial, no residential development, they would have the choice of going to the Affordable Housing Fund, or they could go to the Historic Resource Transfer. They have a choice if they're a purely commercial building.
I'd want to know more about that because the whole thing has been framed in terms of a benefit around affordable housing. And one of the things I don't fully understand is what the off-ramps are that could result in height without that benefit. And while we can't, you know, it may be that for market reasons or other reasons it never gets built if we proceed with this, but I want to make sure there aren't other ways around IZ, because to me that's one of the few compelling parts of this.
And again, that would just be a straight commercial building, which we've seen mostly a lot of mixed use now. So, and it's most of our projects are triggering affordable housing. You build 20 units or more, and you've triggered affordable housing.
Couldn't we just say that there's no bonus for a commercial building?
Well, one could, but just to be clear, even if. How many acres is this, Rachel?
It's an 8-acre site.
So even if it was 8 acres of strictly commercial building, if it needs bonus floor area to build out its program, it will need to participate in the inclusionary housing program. And just for a strictly commercial building, the approach is not to build units but to pay into the fund. And that we've structured the... So that's... It still is part of the inclusionary housing program, but... It might not necessarily have housing on the site if there is no housing on the site. We haven't seen 8 acres of exclusively commercial development in the central city, I think, almost ever.
Very good. Well, first of all, thank you for doing the work. Thank you for making these amendments that I think address some of the public interest issues that have been raised, open space, access to the river, making sure that tower width and spacing requirements are put into place, protecting the view corridors, the visual permeability issues that Commissioner Fritz has raised. With that, I'd like to move it.
So, Mayor, I have some unresolved questions about this. But I think it is worth continuing the conversation, and so I will second your amendment.
Thank you, Commissioner Fish. I appreciate that. Next up, Master Plan L2, Sharing and Consolidation of Resources. Rachel, I think you're up for this.
Yes, so this is, again, dealing with our new Master Plan provision for the Central City. This is a new approval criterion that we're proposing. This is coming from working closely with BDS as we're finding that some of our Master Plan sites are beginning to do their own master planning and getting ready for the city submittal. We're finding that this is a new approval criterion that would be very beneficial. It is in the vein of let's have these projects show us how they can efficiently use resources and their space on site and how they can consolidate. So, for example, consolidate parking and consolidate access to parking, their mechanical equipment, trash and recycling. So it's also a way to show how they're going to, how we're going to maximize the use of ground floor for more active uses.
I'd like to move this. Colleagues, are there any questions? We have a motion, a second. Any further discussion or questions for Rachel? Very good. Now we're to bonuses and transfers, part two. Our next item is G4 to allow FAR transfers from open space. Rachel?
Yes. So this proposed amendment to allow FAR transfers from open space, staff supports this amendment as it will provide an additional pool of FAR for the bonus and transfer system. It offers another option to meeting development and density goals in the central city. The slide before you provides the necessary code updates that would be needed simply by adding open space or OS to the list. And I'd like to turn it over to the Commissioner Fritz if there's any more discussion on this amendment.
Very basic thing, so I move the amendment.
I'll second it. It seems very straightforward.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion on that particular item? Moving along to item G3, that's transfer within a sub-district, sometimes known as the SEIU proposal. Joe, do you want to talk about this one?
Yes, thank you, Mayor.
And I understand nobody's offered amendment, but there was a request for discussion on this. Is that correct?
Correct.
Yeah, and I was not thinking of offering an amendment, but as time has gone by and I've looked at the complexity of this, I think there might be merit in moving it forward, at least for discussion.
Joe?
I didn't tell you that yesterday because I had only just thought about it.
Well, great. So the proposal that was considered by the Planning and Sustainability Commission and then considered again in the City Council process from SEIU is to change the transfer within a subdistrict, one of the two transfers that the new Central City Plan would allow, and make it a transfer that with certain triggers would only make transfer floor area available for for commercial development of a certain scale, if service workers working in that building make 50% median family income. The way that the transfer would be administered and recorded is that to get the transfer, the building, the developer would have to provide building development services with a covenant that records that this condition is in the property's records, in the property's deeds. As the building is built and the building is operated. If at any point in that time this condition is not being met, that enforcement mechanism would require create the opportunity to be enforced through court action by a third party. So this is something new, not just through a zoning enforcement action, but it could be raised through a court proceeding. And the historic property transfers would still be available. That was the idea. The Planning and Sustainability Commission and staff considered the notion of finding means to promote living wage jobs, especially in the service sector, especially in our central city where so much of those jobs exist, is a worthy goal. And like many worthy goals, the zoning code and this particular zoning provision we don't think is a workable or effective or appropriate place to try to do that. And let me just explain.
Actually, Joe, if I could maybe cut this short, I share many of your concerns, and I'm not convinced that this is entirely the right way to move it forward either. But I don't want this to get lost, because I think it's a very important concept. So rather than going into all of the pros and cons now, this is one that I'd really like to just continue the discussion.
And I'd like to explain why. I'll second this with a condition. We put strings on all kinds of actions we take, discretionary actions. We say in opportunity zones, you have to meet certain wage goals. We say in grant agreements, you have to meet city policies. I can go chapter and verse. The principal objection on this is that you have made an argument that the zoning code is not where we should address this, that it may be an otherwise laudable goal. I'm not sure when and how we're going to address this if we don't at least seize this moment to say, okay, let's keep it on the front burner, because I think what we're talking about is justice for janitors. Let's be very clear here. We're talking about a discretionary act of the city in which we're saying as some kind of condition, we don't want you degrading area wages and exploiting people. Now, we already do that in all kinds of ways. We recently adopted a statement of principle on a community benefits agreement. We say on all of our affordable housing, you have to meet a prevailing wage. I agree with you. It may be that the zoning code as an instrument is not ideal, and there may be particular reasons why it couldn't be. It would be difficult to enforce. But along with Commissioner Fritz, I see this as an opportunity to frame the issue and ask you not just to come back and tell us why this doesn't work, but to give us options for something like that's a first cousin that gives us some leverage through this discretionary act to maintain area standards in the service sector. And you may come back and say, we've looked at it, we still can't find an answer. But all we're doing now is saying we want to continue the discussion in January, and so I will second the proposal.
So it's moved by Commissioner Fritz and seconded by Commissioner Fish. All right.
This will be for commercial buildings only?
You all should tell us was the proposal just
commercial.
For commercial buildings?
Yes,
it says commercial.
It's just for commercial.
Yeah, and just to put it in the frame, we're glad to bring it back. We're glad to bring this back, and it will be what I'm sure we'll recommend is a policy statement of some sort about where the city is in a contractual or a development agreement.
Can I make a suggestion, Joe?
That we do that.
Because we have found your office to be incredibly creative, even where you disagree with the premise of a question. I would just say a follow-up meeting with Commissioner Fritz's office and my office to do some brainstorming. And still, you may at the end of this come back and still say we're barking up the wrong tree, but we want to have that conversation.
That's my intent, too. So certainly don't go home tonight and start working away at it.
So, Mayor, so we don't actually have an amendment on the table at this point, so we would have to come back with an amendment sometime in the future. We could either come back on January 3rd, we have that date penciled in as a possible date, or we could bring it back on January 18th and you could consider it before the...
I suggest you meet with Commissioners Fish and Fritz, and between the two of them, they can make a recommendation to council.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Great.
But I believe we have to announce the next meeting at this meeting. Isn't
let's
that
say,
right,
Lauren? I would say let's tentatively say it'll come back on January 3rd.
Yeah.
Because I think we want to keep this on track.
Yep.
And that can always change. But you need a placeholder.
Or can't we just take the language that was proposed to the Planning Commission and advance that?
This has never actually been in the There has been no language that the Planning Commission did not recommend for this.
I think
at
it
all
actually
either.
Gives us.
I thought they had an amendment they rejected, though, or something.
No, they discussed the issue. It's similar to the discussion we're having now, Commissioner.
Are there other items that would be heard on January 3rd?
No,
we don't have anything else on the list for January 3rd at this time.
And so if we put it then, because I agree, Commissioner, we want to kind of keep working on it. And did you have a suggestion, City Attorney?
I think you're headed in the direction that you are coming back for the amendments package on January 18th.
For
so
a hearing.
You could bring language at that meeting. You can introduce it
true.
Then so that you don't have to have a separate hearing.
I would. I think, you know, given the holidays and everything, I think the 3rd is a bit optimistic.
Is that acceptable?
That's acceptable.
The 18th?
Let's plan on that. So, Sally, why don't you tell us where we are and what the schedule is going to be going forward?
Great. Okay. So on the first of all, we have to go back to the parking item. When Mauricio was up here, you asked for an amendment to the parking item.
Yes.
So just to clarify, Commissioner Fritz's amendment was to add, but no building area above it. I recommend that you change it to no gross building area above it.
Yeah.
And that's as standard Scribner, so it's consistent. And then as far as the SEIU thing, I just want to clarify, it sounded like there was a motion and a second, but that was just for the concept,
it's
so
withdrawn.
There's not an actual amendment.
Yeah,
I just
want
withdrawn. To be clear on the record. Yeah.
That was clarified subsequently there was no formal amendment on the table, so it's withdrawn.
And that we might bring something on that at 18th.
Great.
So,
Lauren,
I'm hearing no objection to the Scribner area on the parking issue.
Okay. So we don't need to move and second that again then?
That
okay.
is actually what I said. In the first place.
Oh, I heard building. I apologize.
Okay. Great. Okay. So the PowerPoint slide that we have up shows January 3rd at 2 p.m. We do not need that meeting. We've just decided.
All right.
So we are not going to have that.
I guess I don't love you, but I think you're probably quite relieved to have
and,
a bit of time off.
We will be publishing.
Hold that date. I it's going to be eaten up by 5 today, so hold that date. I put first dibs on it. Thank you.
On January 5th, we will publish the amendments report based on the feedback we've gotten from you at these last 3 meetings and the items that you brought forward prior to beginning the hearings. And then we'll have our hearing on January 18th, and we'll take it from there.
Very good. That concludes the Central City 2035 discussion for today. We're going to continue the conversation on January 18th at 2 p.m. time certain. Next item, 1311.